It's good to be here tonight. Amen?
Amen.
We thank you for the invitation, for the opportunity to come and to minister and to be with you and share God's word with you. We appreciate all the things that God has done. I was visiting today with Brother Monty and just remembering how we met, how our lives come in contact with one another, and it's kind of strange because I met the Richies in Kerrville, Texas. They're from Raton, and they come to Kerrville, Texas, and I'm from Oklahoma, and I was in Kerrville, Texas. I mean, we went a way out of the way to get acquainted. It's just kind of a strange deal. But I ministered at a Word First conference in Kerrville at the college, and after the service was over with, I was shaking hands with a few people, and there was this whole slew of cowboys. I mean, they were a bunch of them. And they kind of hemmed me up in the back and shook hands with me, and we spoke just briefly, and Jim said, "What would it take to get you to come to Raton?" And I said, "Just one thing will get me to come to Raton." He said, "What's that?" And I said, "An invitation." That's what it takes. And they did, and so I did, and here we are. And I don't know, but he keeps inviting me back. He hasn't found another sucker yet. I don't know.
Just me and you, brother.
But we have very quickly developed a close and caring relationship. He's not just a person that I met. I've a person that I fell in love with. Fell in love with the whole family. I was blessed to get acquainted with them. And I'm glad that the relationship has continued. Amen. It's been a blessing to me, and I pray that it's been a blessing to you as well. Well, we started in Philippians chapter 3 because that's the theme. And I didn't know what the theme was till I got here. Nothing like short notice. Philippians chapter 3. And we've already read the passages of Scripture, but I want to read through them again. Chapter 3 of Philippians and verse 12. And we're going to bless this mosquito. I'm fixing to lay hands on him. Verse 12 says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." There is a reason why there's a huge windshield on the front of your car and a very small rearview mirror. We're really glad it's not the other way around. Amen? You know why? It would be one major wreck if we had that little bitty windshield and a great big rearview mirror. It would be a major wreck. If you spend more time looking backwards than you are looking forward, I promise you, you're headed for a wreck. It's a forward glance and a determined look and a determined step. You have to press. You have to press. Push. Push. Lexi's fixing to learn what push means. She thought she knew, but what she's really going to know. You have to push. And there's some things you'll never give birth to in the spiritual realm till you learn how to push. You don't get them. You don't get there. You have to press. Yeah. It doesn't just happen. You have to participate.
Amen.
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 Grit your teeth, bear down, and get with it. And there's one thing about Lexi's condition. She can't change her mind now. She cannot change her mind now. No backing out. I don't want to do this. That is behind. Everything is forward from here on. And it's the same way in the kingdom of God. It's the same way in our relationship with Him. The devil will cheat you, lie to you, steal from you. Come on. He'll get your stuff that God intended for you to have.
That's right. Sure.
If you don't press in to what God has for you. And that's the theme, is to press in to the victory. Amen. Press in to the victory. And receive what it is that God has for us. I've been talking to God all afternoon, and we've been having a discussion. It's usually kind of one-sided. I do all the talking, and then He tells me what He wants me to do. I give Him a long list of suggestions. And then He says, this is what I want you to do. And so you just have to kind of go with it. Because I discovered a whole long time ago, if God's not in it, it ain't worth it.
Amen. That's right.
Now, I didn't drive all the way from Oklahoma to waste your time or mine.
That's right.
Amen. It's a long ways to drive just to waste your time.
Yeah.
I can stay home and waste somebody's time. It don't cost near as much money, and I can sleep in my own bed with my own pillow. But He began to deal with me about this pressing issue. And we talked about that at some length last night, but He began to deal with me in a whole nother direction. Because sometimes we're pressing and we're pushing. We're not getting anywhere. We're not making any advance. And sometimes we're pushing against God. We have to be careful that we're pushing towards God's purpose and plan and not ours. Sometimes God will frustrate your plan because it's not His. And we just push and push and push. We got this idea in our mind that this is what victory is. Let God define victory for you.
Amen.
Let God define victory for you. It may not be what somebody else's victory is. It may not be somebody else's goal. We see somebody else's trophy saddle and we decide we want one. And that may not be our call. I come from a rodeo family, and my uncles, my dad, and his brothers, and they all rodeoed, and I seen their saddles. I thought that was neat. I liked that new saddle, especially when they had that pretty buckle on top of the saddle horn, had their name on it. And I thought I would love to have me one of them. Just one. Not greedy. I just want one. And I tried everything that I could think of to talk God into the notion. My dad's two youngest brothers rode bulls professionally. And so I thought, well, I'll ride bulls. And I was living in a part of Oklahoma where Freckles Brown happened to be living at the same time. And his daughter was just a couple of years older than me. I knew her through school. And my dad was a highway patrolman in that county. And on occasions, he had to pull Mr. Brown over because he had no tail lights whatsoever on his trailer. None. Zero. And he's hauling bulls down the road. And they kind of struck up a relationship, and so I got acquainted with him, and he would haul his bulls from his place to the rodeo arena where we was practicing roping calves, and I decided I would just ask him when he bucked out his bulls if he'd run them back through the chutes and let me ride. I said, I think if you just give me a few pointers, I'm pretty sure I can. I rode the milk cow's calf. I rode my uncle's dog and steers. I rode everything I could catch. And there was a few things I wasn't supposed to catch. Y'all don't tell Mama, but Mr. Thompson had a pretty good sized place on the back side of our place, and when he wasn't home, we'd swim his cattle out in the river and swim out there and get on them. Because we couldn't get on them on land, so we'd drive them out in the river, swim out there and get on the cow, and then ride her out the bank and see how far we got. Now I figured if I could ride a cow out of Boggy Bottom, I could ride me one of them bulls if I had a rope to hang on. So I told Mr. Brown, I said, if you'll just give me a few pointers and I'd like to try. And I said, and my daddy's the highway patrolman. You play all your cards. You play all your cards. And he said, here's the deal. You ride just like I do. We load the chutes, you get on one. When he throws you off, you get up and get on another one. He said, you empty the chutes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right. Got on the first one. Opened the gate, and I lasted about 2 jumps. He told me what I did wrong. I got on the next one. I straightened out what I was doing wrong, and I did something new wrong. But I did ride that one 3 jumps. I got on another one, rode him even shorter distance. They did open the gate. By the time I got to the fourth one, man, I was a yard dart. I mean, the first thing that hit was my head. And flipped me over a couple of times and knocked all of the wind out of me. I couldn't find breath nowhere. It had disappeared from the face of the earth. I didn't know whether to hold my hands up or put my hands down. And Mr. Brown was whacking me on the back saying, breathe! I said, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get all I am, and there ain't nothing happening here. And he's digging dirt out my nose and my ears and my mouth. He finally got me dusted off, and he said, son, he said, there's 2 things wrong with you. And I said, what's that? He said, well, your head is supposed to be round and your bottom flat. But your bottom is round and your head is flat. And he said, I suggest that you get in another line of business. And I took it as sound advice, and I didn't get on the other two. I said, you can just open the gate, turn them suckers loose, because I'm through. I decided, I discovered, I tried. I mean, I was lifting on the rope. I had my spurs sunk in. I was determined. But I discovered that I was pressing to something that was not going to be my future. I was trying hard. I had heart. I had want to. I didn't have ability. I don't care how many days I practiced jumping. I will never jump as high as Michael Jordan. Never. Not going to get there. I discovered I could not dunk a basketball without a stepladder. That was the only way. It's just not my thing. It's not my calling. It's not my purpose. And if you're pressing and pressing and pressing and you're not getting anywhere, back up and ask a few questions. If you butt your head against the wall, don't back up and get a bigger run at it. Ask some questions. God, is this for me? When I finally got air in my lungs and I agreed wholeheartedly with Mr. Brown, you're right, I need another line of business. He said, son, he said, if you can catch a calf with that horse, I suggest that you get back on him and stay off of these bulls. You'll live longer. And I said, yeah, I agree. I agree. There's got to be a better way to make a living. And there's some things that we see other people doing. And it looks good. It looks anointed. And people pat them on the back and say, boy, praise God, you're great, you're wonderful, just hallelujah, we're so thankful for you. And then we want to do what they're doing and get us a hallelujah. And that may not be our calling. We may be pressing for something that's not in our future. It's not God's plan. It's our plan. I read a passage of Scripture where it's recorded in the book that if you search for me, I will be found. I will be found. Because I'm not very far from you at any time. I need you to reach for me. And what I discovered was I wasn't reaching for where God was. I was reaching for where I wanted God to be. You understand there's a difference? Sometimes we're not reaching for where God is. We're reaching for where we want God to be. It's hard to find Him that way. If you're not looking just for Him, it's hard to find Him if you're looking for where you want Him to be. I wanted Him to be. I bargained with God. I'll preach the gospel to the Cowboys. If you'll just let me rodeo, I will preach the gospel to the Cowboys. And they need it. Desperately. God, this bunch of guys need somebody to tell them about Jesus. Now they're doing that all over. There's guys that are preaching to the Cowboys behind the bucking chutes. There's guys preaching to the Cowboys in the roping pens. And that was my idea. I thought that all by myself, and God wouldn't let me do it. I said, I wanted to do that. And when I offered that to God, there wasn't anybody doing it. But that wasn't my thing. I wanted to press towards it, but that wasn't where God wanted me to be. That wasn't my future. And what He began to deal with me about surrendering my will to His will. Just cleaning up your will and making it religious and kind of holy and kind of godly is not what He's looking for. Just cleaning up your act and doing your own thing, but calling it God. You remember that passage of Scripture, Jesus said that in that day many will say, didn't we in your name cast out devils and do good works? And He said to them, depart from me, I never knew you. Just putting God's name on it don't mean that God's the daddy of it. It don't. And sometimes we're pressing into what we want things to be. And we're not making success. And what happens is we get frustrated. And here's the strange thing. Is that it's always somebody else's fault. It's always somebody else's fault. If Mr. Brown's bull rope had been braided to fit my hand, it would have been different. I would have made it to 4 jumps. If it wasn't somebody else's fault. It wasn't the tools. It wasn't the equipment. It was just me going in the wrong direction. Y'all have heard the little story about the kid that was rubbing the cat from the tail to his head. And the more he rubbed, the madder the cat got. He was just rubbing that cat going from his tail to his head. And the cat, I mean, was getting mad. His hair was standing up the wrong way. And his mama walked by and said, "What in the world are you doing?" He said, "I'm a petting the cat." She said, "Well, you're making him mad. Should you're rubbing him the wrong way." And he said, "No, mama, he's headed in the wrong direction." And if things in life seem to be just rubbing you the wrong way, you probably need to turn around. You just headed in the wrong direction. You'll discover that things don't ruffle your feathers near as bad if you're headed in the direction that God intended for you to go in the first place and you're not doing His thing. We have to press, but let's make sure we're pressing in the right direction towards God. And not towards where we want God to be. I wanted God to be behind the bucking chutes for me. That's where I want. And I looked for that to happen. I tried to make that happen. I tried to develop that. I tried to encourage that. I tried to bribe my way into that. I even used a few threats. My daddy is a highway patrolman. And he has a ticket book. And I know your tag number. But it didn't work. It didn't work. So we have to press, but we have to make sure that where we're pressing to is the goal that God set for us, the one that God has for us. And I share with people all the time, make sure that you're following God's will, not your own will. And I don't know how many times people say, "You know, I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know where I'm going to be down the road. I don't know what He's trying to make out of me." And I said, if He's not got you whittled to the point where you recognize what you are, don't get out from under the knife. He's just not through whittling yet. There used to be an old man in our community that, and he made all kinds of things out of wood. He whittled horses and cows and ducks and donkeys and all kinds of things. I mean, he started out with a block of wood, and when he got through, it was something. But long before he got there, you had a hard time figuring out what that was. There was a point where you begin to recognize that it resembles something. And that's where we are in God's plan. But the thing is stay under the knife. The thing is stay under the knife until God reveals some things in you. Surrender your will to His will and say, "God, whatever you need to do to me, whatever you need to do to me." When God began to deal with me about preaching the gospel, it took Him about 2 years to get me to surrender. I knew that He wanted me to preach, and we went through this bargaining thing about preaching to the cowboys and doing all of those different situations. But finally, in the roping pen, He hemmed me up, and He wasn't going to let me out till I made a decision. I had to come to the place where I had to make a surrender to God's will. And we'd done been through, I'll preach to the cowboys, and that was not acceptable. And finally that night when I had my horse backed up in the box, the guy that was down in the chute with the calf, he'd turn around and look at me and said, "Are you ready? Do you want this calf?" And I turned my horse around, set her up again, and I don't know how many times I turned around, set it up, but it was numerous, more than what I needed, the horse needed, or the calf needed, and the guy that was fixing to shove it out, he was getting tired. He said, "Do you want this calf?" And God is saying, "This is it. You choose between me and my will, or you and your will. But today, it's surrender." He said, "If you don't, I'm not going to mess with you anymore. This is it." He said, "It's either me or that calf. Not another calf, that one right there." And he turned around and looked at me and said, "Do you want this calf?" And I said, "Let the barrier rope down and let me out." And he said, "What's the matter with you? We done got your money. We paid a little loop fee so that the calves could be fed." And he said, we done got your money." I said, "There's no refunds, no do-overs." I said, "Yeah, this is it." And I said, "Just let the barrier rope down and let me out." I knew that I had to surrender. I had to give up. And I rode out the end of the arena. I lived about 7 miles from the rodeo arena. And I rode home in the dark, horseback. I went there in a pickup and trailer. I left it at the arena and I rode home. Because I didn't want to have to take the time to get off and load my horse because I was afraid somebody was going to be out there and ask me what was going on. And I was afraid I couldn't explain to them what was going on because my eyes was full of tears. So I just rode home. But I surrendered. And I said, "Yes, I'll do whatever it is that you want me to do." So I made a public surrender at my church to the ministry call. And my pastor began to tutor me and got enrolled in some classes. The first time my pastor gave me an opportunity to minister behind the pulpit, I got up that morning, put on my boots. I polished my boots and I put on my Wranglers and I put on my shirt. And I started out the door and he said, and I just felt this check in my spirit. And I said, "What's the matter? I'm doing what you asked me to do. I'm going to preach the gospel at the church. I'm not preaching to the cowboys. I'm going to church and I'm preaching the gospel." And he said, "Not dressed like that, you're not." And I said, "God, I've seen people preach in their blue jeans and their boots. I've seen them do it." He said, "I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to you." And I said, "Well, what am I going to do?" And he said, "That suit you, Granny bought you, that you wore one time." He said, "Put it on." I said, "I don't even know how to tie a tie." I didn't. But I wrapped it around. I had a knot. And I got it on and I went to church. And I thought, "I don't understand." And he said, "Just do what you're told to do and you will." See, it's not a limited surrender, but it's a total surrender. It's not doing God's will your way. It's doing God's will God's way. And I went for a long time before he had ever let me minister again with my boots and my blue jeans on. I had to wear slacks and a shirt and a tie. I put that tie on and I quit roping calves. If this is what they have to go through, I won't do that to that creature. But he was exacting from me total surrender. Not just surrender to his will, but surrender to his will, his way. And I had been pressing and pressing and pressing. I was pressing in the wrong direction for the wrong thing. So I did. I put on slacks, I put on a shirt, I put on a jacket, I put on a tie. And I said, God, you know, I have three ties now. Somebody told me that the tie that I had on did not go with the shirt I had. And I didn't know that they was incompatible. I didn't know there was such a thing. I thought, it's my shirt and it's my tie. What do you mean you can't wear them together? I bought them, I paid for them, they belong to me. Well, who says you can't wear them together? And they said, but you can't wear that tie with that shirt. And so I had to get another tie and another tie. And I don't know who wrote that book. And I don't know why women's the only one that got a copy. I have not figured that out yet. But they never give one to a man. The only one who knows what tie goes with what shirt is a woman. But I finally figured out you might as well give up. And just put on one. I had to hold it up and say, is this it? Is this it? But God was after something a lot deeper than just saying yes to his will. He was looking for a surrender that went clear to the bottom of my feet. And so I did. And I finally figured out there's some colors that you don't supposed to wear with other colors. And that's not a real handy deal if you're colorblind. It's not, if you don't know one color from another, it's not a really good deal. But I promise you, if you'll show up in it, some lady at church will tell you if that don't go with that shirt. They will come clumb across the building to tell you that tie don't go with that shirt. And every time that would happen, God was just chipping away at me. He was just chipping away at me. He was just digging a little bit deeper. God's looking for more from us in surrender to his will. He'll do the work. If you're totally surrendered, he'll do the work. But he's looking for that surrender. We want things to happen the way we want them to happen. We want folks to get saved when we want them to get saved. We want people to get healed the way we want them to get healed and when we want them to get healed. And we've got a whole list of things that we want. But he has to dig away at all of that stuff that's our will and not his will. And he worked on me for years and years and years. I preached the gospel for 48 years this March. And just a few years ago did I get to go back to boots and jeans. And finally come a day, God said I could. So thank God! Hallelujah! But you know, there was a strange thing that happened. Them folks that used to invite me don't invite me back no more. There was a time and a place where that was my appointment. That was where I needed to be. That's what I needed to be doing to be obedient to God. And you listen to him. Don't tell God what his will is. Ask him what his will is. And when he tells you, press towards that. And when he hasn't given you a clear plan, when he hasn't told you what the end is and where the finish line is for you, then you just press towards him. Just press towards him. All we need to know how is to stay close to him. I don't have to figure things out. I just have to hear and obey. I don't have to figure things out. I would have never, if I was out trying to figure things out, I would have never figured out coming to Raton. It just was not on my list. It wasn't on my radar nowhere. But it was on God's. And He may have places for you to go and things you need to do and people you need to meet. And what He's looking for, it's not changing clothes. It's about surrendering your will to His will. And He may use something altogether different in your life to get you to recognize what He's after is you, unconditional surrender. Now, this is the way I'll do it if you'll let me do it like this. That's not surrender. And when that comes, when your heart says totally, 100% yes, then we can press towards the prize and we make advancements. God's not asking anybody just to endlessly butt their head against a wall that's never going to move. God is looking for His kingdom to come to this earth just like it is in heaven. But we don't know the design and the plan as to how He's going to operate that in this realm. We don't know. There's record after record after record of Jesus healing people, and not all of them were the same. Some of them He spit on the ground and made a little mud pack and put it on their eyes. Try that sometime. People like spit. And they sure enough don't want it in their eyes. Some people did something altogether different. So we don't know. We don't have to work out those details. That's God's business. What we need to press into is the high calling in Christ Jesus. And that is total surrender. My will to His will. If Jesus had to do it in the Garden of Gethsemane, I promise you, you have to do it some point in your life. God's going to exact from you a surrender of your will. Not just an acceptance of His salvation, but a surrender of your will to His will. Saying, God, whatever it is that You want to do with me and whatever You want to do through me. Where and how is not up to me. It's up to God. And I'm willing. And I went through that whole deal. I went to Bible school and I went to Bible school and I went to Bible school and I went to Bible school. And I went to Bible school and I went to Bible school and I went to Bible school. And I went to Bible school and I went to Bible school and I went to Bible school. That's what studying the book of Deuteronomy sounds like. I went to Bible school, and I went to Bible school, and I went to Bible school, and I went to Bible school. But God was after something in me. Years and years ago, I come home from a situation and I was frustrated at school and kids had been picking on me and harassing me. And I come home and I was mad, out of sorts. Mama said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "Them kids is picking on me at school and they're making fun of this and they're making fun of that." She said, "Huh. They get you, goat?" I said, "Yeah, they did." She said, "Good." I said, "Good." She said, "Yeah, you don't need a goat. If somebody can get your goat, it only proves you got one." That's true. She said, "You don't need a goat. They can't get your goat if you ain't got a goat to get." God was just digging little things out of my life and forever getting... I had a flock. I discovered when they got that goat, I had several replacements. And he was after every one of my goats till I was out of the goat business. And laugh, but I ain't the only one. Yeah, I see some goat farmers. And I promise you, God knows how to get your goat. He has a committee. A goat getters. And he will get your goat. But he's after something in you that will release you for him to operate in him fully without your hide and your will getting in his way. He needs a clean channel to flow through. And when he can get all of you out of the pipe, then there's no blockage for God to work through. And I made surrenders and I made surrenders and I made surrenders, and I thought, God, is there anything else in me that you want? Then you get through. There's not anything going to be left of me. And he said, that's what I'm after. That's exactly where I'm headed. Till there's not anything left of you, and it's just me. That's good news. Y'all act cheerful. You got this serious look on your face. But I'm telling you, that's good news. It's painful if you're hanging on to them goats, but if you just turn them loose. Just turn them loose. Quit feeding them. Quit nurturing them. Quit protecting them. Be surprised how much time we spend protecting our goat. Boy, how'd we get off on goats? That ain't even in my notes. God wants to do something, and he needs to do something with the church on the earth today. We're in a precarious time. And the church needs to stand up and be all that the church was created to be. And let God function through us. Because that's the only cure, people. That is the only cure. They will not cure the ills of America from Washington, D.C. It'll be cured in your house, around your coffee table, with your Bible in your lap, and sincerity in your heart, and surrender of will to His will. And that's the only way. That's the only way we'll fix what's wrong with the United States. Amen. We don't need just a revival. We need a reformation. Amen. We don't need to be just cheered up. We need to be reformed, put back on the potter's wheel, and shaped again. And we need to yield to His touch. When He puts His finger on something, you don't blow up. You give in. Amen?
Amen.
And He wants to reshape us and use us. And this time, you were chosen by God to live today. You were chosen by God to live in this time period. You was chosen by God to live during this election. Somebody said, who are you going to vote for? I said, don't ask me. You better talk to God. Don't ask, because I don't like none of them that's running. Don't ask me. I would say reshuffle and deal again. I didn't like nothing. That was not a winning hand. No way you stacked it. It was not. So what we need to do is get a hold of God and listen to Him and be obedient. But we've got to do some changing, and it's not going to come from Washington. It's not going to come from the legislators. It's going to come from the church being the church and people getting real and honest with God. Amen? And that means me. Put your hand in the air and say, that means me.
That means me.
Amen?
Amen?
It's not for somebody else to do. It's for you and I to do our part. The only way we'll change the atmosphere is when we change the atmosphere that's around us.
Amen.
One person at a time. And that first person has to be us. Then we encourage one another. Surrender your will to God's will. Surrender your will to God's will. 100% lock, stock, and barrel. I'm yours. Somebody said, why do you do what you do? And I said, because God asked me to. And that is the only reason. That is the only reason. I don't like driving all that much. I used to, when I was 16, I used to kind of like to drive. But I outgrew that. The only reason I do it is because God asked me to. Let that be the motivating factor in everything that you do. Make sure that you're chasing His will and not yours. Make sure that you're not pressing after something that isn't yours to have, even if you caught it. I've seen dogs tenaciously chase cars. And they can't even drive. They can't. And they will chase them furiously, and none of them has a driver's license. Can't get insured. And we got folks that's chasing things that they've seen somebody else do, and they thought that was mine. I want to do that. I want to be like that. You know what I discovered a long time ago? The only person I could be was me. Because there was nobody else standing in line to be me. I turned around and looked. There was nobody else wanting to be me. So I had to be me because nobody else was going to be me. If I was busy trying to be somebody else, there would nobody be me because nobody was in line. There can't anybody replace you and what God's called you to in your purpose.
Amen.
So be whoever it is and whatever God wants to do with you. Just surrender to God's will. And let Him take you through the process. Let Him trim your herd of the goats. Amen? Do the culling now. Don't wait till the judgment day when He separates the sheep from the goats. Let Him get your goat now.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Beat the rush. Shop early. Goat free. God's not through with the planet Earth. God is not through with the planet Earth. And He's not through with the church on the earth. He's not through with you on this earth. If He was, you wouldn't be here. If God was through with you on this earth, you wouldn't be here. He's not through with you. You still have something to do for Him and His kingdom on this earth. Let's all pray that that don't blow up. Y'all wasn't praying hard enough. But God is good.
Amen.
Amen. God is good. And He's not through with you. He's not through with me. He's just looking for surrender.
Amen.
Press, press, press. But make sure what you're pressing into is God's will and not your will.
Amen.
Not what you've decided you want God to do. And it's hard to put God in a box.
Yeah.
It is hard to put God in a box. It's hard to hem him up and say, now this is how you're going to do this, and this is how you're going to do that. And it never works out according to our plan. It always works out according to his plan. And we usually prolong the situation by demanding our will. We prolong the situation. If you just give up and surrender, it goes a whole lot faster. I discovered when I finally said, yes, 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 whatever you want me to wear, wherever you want me to go, whatever Bible school I need to enroll in, whatever I am going, I'm going to do that, I'm going to be that. And when I finally got to that point, then things begin to turn around. Then things begin to work. Then doors begin to open. When I turned my will totally over to his will, I wound up in places like Raton, New Mexico. But I've preached from the Atlantic to the Pacific. And I didn't ask anybody. I've always been invited. I never forced myself on anybody. I never sent out letters saying, you need to have me in your church. God opened the doors and God closed the doors. I just walked through the ones he opened. And when he shut it, I left. Because it's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's about him and what he wants. And he's the one who's doing it. Let him do it through you. And it just takes surrender. Shorten the stay by surrendering your will. And just press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. It took Peter a while. And he had ideas about himself. Said, Lord, all these other guys will forsake you, but not me. Not me. And God said, oh yeah? Before the rooster crows, Peter. Peter didn't believe it until the rooster crowed. And then he said, oh my, Jesus knew. Jesus knew who I was all along. See, I thought I was surrendering to God's will. I'm going to preach the gospel. But what he needed to see, he needed for me to know that I wasn't as surrendered as I thought I was. He needed me to see me the way he saw me. What I discovered was God can't fix who I pretend to be. The only person God can fix is who I am. God can't fix who you pretend to be. The only person he can fix is who you are. And it's when you get gut level honest and say, this is me. And we lie to ourselves. We lie to ourselves and we tell ourselves that I am really and really nice guy and I never punch anybody. I am, and we believe that. We do. We think, man, I am the nicest guy. I do anything for anybody, anywhere. I am just a really super nice guy. And then God sends some jerk your way and point out the fact you're not near as nice as you thought you was. Because he can fix who you are. He can't fix who you pretend to be because that person don't exist. Your imaginary self is unfixable. Your real self and molded and shaped into the image of God. Amen?
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity and this privilege to be at this place at this time in Raton, New Mexico with these people. I thank you. I count it as a great privilege. I've met wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. And have fallen madly and madly in love with them. And I know that you are too. And we want to be fixed. We want to be the kind of church that can turn things around in the United States of America. But we can't turn them around until we turn around. We can't turn America around until we turn around and surrender our will to God's will. 100%. And Lord, we're here tonight and we're saying we've been pressing and trying to be whatever it is that we thought your will was, but we don't even know what your will is. We're just here to discover what you want us to do today. We're surrendering our will 100%, and we're willing to do whatever it is that you ask us to do. And we thank you because you're not through working on us. You're not through working on us. And we don't want you to be through. We don't want you to quit. We don't want you to become grieved and give up. We want to encourage you with the total surrender of our will to your will. America needs it. We need it. Our families need it. And we need it in our personal relationship to you. And I ask you today, teach every one of us how to look at ourselves through your word. Not to be influenced by what we see happening in other people's lives, but just to hear from you and let you fix who we really are. And we thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Amen.